Hello, everybody. Today I have very special guests here to talk about why the Board of Education and our school district in Prince George, SD57, should adopt mandatory masks in all our schools. So my first guest is Calista, who is currently in elementary school. Hi, Calista.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good.
That's awesome. So, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
What grade are you in?
I'm in grade 3 and I'm 8 years old.
Awesome. Can you tell me kind of what inspired you to talk to your mom about the changes you wanted to see in your school?
I wanted to see a change because at first when I went into school, I think it was in November, and everyone, only me and one of my friends and the teacher were wearing masks. And I kind of wanted, so I decided to try starting a petition in November, I think November 10th.
Good enough.
Mm-hmm.
What did you want to see?
I wanted to see more people wearing masks in my classroom because I only had 3 people wearing masks, including me.
Wow. So 3 people wearing masks, and about how many people are in your classroom, Calista?
22.
Wow, that's a very low number. And at recess time, when you guys are going out and playing and interacting with each other, do masks have to be on?
No.
No, wow. So,
because the airflow goes more, like the airflow is more there, but in a classroom, there's only a little bit of air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's more enclosed than outside,
I see.
And is there any point where you have to wear your mask and you can't take it off at all?
No.
Oh, wow. So you can just go around in school and you don't have to wear your mask?
Yeah.
Okay. I got you. So tell me a little bit more about the petition. You know, where is it? How can people sign it? You said that you started it in November, so it has been a while. Do you guys have a lot of signatures?
Yes, we have a lot of signatures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there are 485 signatures last time I checked, and it's through change.org. So if you just go to the change.org website and you search for mask and SD57 for the school district, it's very easy to find.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you. It's funny that, I guess, a contrast because... Calista, I have younger brothers, and I have a younger brother who's in grade 5. So he's 10 years old. And I was asking him the same thing because I was really inspired by your story about, you know, mandatory mask wear in elementary schools. And my brother wears his mask all the time, just like you. And I asked him, I said, why is it important for you and your friends to wear your masks? And he told me that he thought it could really impact and have a positive impact on the way that COVID gets contained and we reduce the spread of COVID. Is that also how you feel?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So moving forward, amidst, you know, the decision that the school board made about how they weren't really going to do anything about this issue, what is your hope and your vision, Calista?
Well, I hope that they do something about it. We already have a lot of signatures, and I think there's another meeting soon at the school board, so I'm hoping my mom can go in and talk about it again.
Mm-hmm. That's so awesome. Well, thank you so much, Calista, for your time and answering these questions.
Bye.
Bye now. Hello, Zoe. Are you still there?
Hello, yes, I'm still here.
Awesome. Okay. You have such a remarkable, brave, and well-spoken daughter. She's so awesome.
Yes, thank you. She did a really good thing getting this all started, and we've had a lot of support from fellow parents and from other kids who were feeling really anxious about the lack of masks. So it's been really good to feel like we're active and doing something to try to improve safety measures.
Mm-hmm. Really, it's everybody plays a role, no matter how small, big, young, old. Everybody is, you know, playing an important role during this pandemic, and certainly our children who are going to school every single day. So what prompted you to go to the school board and address this issue?
Well, when Calista started the petition, she brought it to school and she was going to try to get friends to sign up. And I said, well, you know, they may or may not allow you to do this, especially because of COVID. They might not want you sharing papers. But I didn't really want to stop her because she had come up with these sheets and everything. So she went to school with them and I basically told her when she got back and she was a bit disappointed that they wouldn't let her share it around. And I said, okay, well, you know what? We'll put it online. We'll share it for you. And that way you can still collect signatures and still have your petition. So that's what we did. And, you know, it came from both of us hearing a lot of chatter from other friends and kids saying that they didn't really understand why. Like, I think it's a strange thing for kids to look around and realize, why do you have to wear masks everywhere else? But the place where I spend most of my time, it's sort of, you know, had them raising some questions. So that's why we wanted to do something. And also because we know that the school board does have authority and it does have influence. And because we saw the teachers' unions and a QP union for school board employees, they were also saying that they felt unsafe in the schools and that they wanted additional measures. So it seems like there's actually quite a lot of momentum and a lot of people asking for improved measures, and I'm not sure exactly why all the different levels of governance, you know, are not doing much. It's really disappointing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just clarifying, but teachers have to wear masks, is that correct? Elementary school, high school, all teachers have to wear masks?
Yes, teachers have to wear masks. I mean, I guess our petition also has a clause about medical exceptions, so I'm sure, you know, that if you had some kind of medical reason why you couldn't wear a mask, you wouldn't have to wear a mask. But otherwise, they do wear masks. But like you said, below a certain grade, people don't have to wear masks. And the kind of strangest thing for me about all of this is that anybody who has children or spends time around children knows that they're vectors, right? Like, they bring colds and other things home all the time. They spread germs among each other. And in this case, it's so weird. It's like we're pretending that the unmasked kids that have these learning groups of about 50 or 60, that they don't interact with any other humans, you know? Like, it doesn't make sense. They go home to homes. They go to childcare. They have relatives. Maybe they even go into stores. You know, they certainly walk down streets, but we're pretending as if, no, they just have this little learning group bubble, and that's why it's okay that they don't wear masks.
Mm-hmm. And even your daughter was mentioning at recess, not only are they interacting with kids from their own classrooms, but they're interacting with anybody from within the school at that point. And they're told, you know, you don't have to wear masks because you're outside.
It doesn't make sense. Of course, kids mix and mingle, and they mix and mingle with grown-ups, and they mix and mingle in different spaces. Like, there is nowhere else that you could go right now in and around Prince George where you could be with, you know, 22 to 45 people unmasked, except for a school-based learning group in elementary school.
Yeah, it is just as shocking to me hearing this and seeing this in the news. Definitely mm-hmm. of concern. And I know that the school board in their response kind of said that, oh, you know, there's only been 32 exposure notifications and our population is over 15,000. And only 15 of 42 schools have had a notification, and they seem, you know, very proud, which it is something. However, there was a PG Matters article that actually stated that a total of 18 schools actually in Northern Health had experienced COVID exposure. So I'm not really sure where the statistics, you know, are correct or not, but whether or not they are correct, I mean, it does not excuse the fact that there have been exposures and that is not a reason of any kind of concern.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's a difference between a notification and the number of positive tests out there. There's also a difference between the number of positive tests and the people who have been sick, because a lot of people might just be self-isolating and not getting tested. So it's strange to present that as almost like number of cases, because that's not what it is. And also there's no proof of what exactly is keeping those numbers low. A lot of it can just be luck or kind of patterns out in the community. On the other hand, what surprises me in this whole thing is there is no good argument against requiring masks across all ages. There is no good argument. The teachers' union's in favor of it. The World Health Organization says that children over the age of 2 should be masked when they can't social distance. None of the classrooms I've been in here allow for social distancing, so I don't understand it. It's like we're bending the data and the science to fit the arguments we're making. And that's disappointing when you're talking about educational leaders. They encourage kids to be innovative and think and be entrepreneurs and try to change the world and be brave. And they're just saying, oh, but we're going to follow what the minimal things that are being done and sort of wait and see. And that seems like the opposite of what we would want our kids themselves to do.
Mm-hmm. Definitely being more, you know, waiting to be reactive rather than proactive, really.
Yeah, we're still pretty bad at preventive healthcare generally, I would say. We're much better at acute issues, and that's too bad. That's how we end up in these scenarios. But masks are so easy to find. Most families have them anyway. They would also be cheap to support if, you know, we had to buy some extra ones. There's federal funding. There's provincial funding. Again, no good argument against mandatory masks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's really spot on and a very strong case, and it's really disappointing the response that the school board has given. You did mention to me earlier when we were talking about relatives that you have or people that you've been in contact with who are in other provinces other than BC, and you mentioned how they thought it was kind of ridiculous almost that we don't have mandatory measures for elementary schools for masks.
Yeah, I was just talking with some friends of ours that used to live in BC. They have 3 kids in elementary school, and they were really shocked and surprised to hear that BC didn't require all students to be masked. And then they were sort of shocked and surprised that we were still sending our child to school because of a lack of required masking. And that's actually how a lot of the parents that I encounter, you know, at school pickup or school drop-off feel. Like, we're not doing it because we feel comfortable or because we feel safe. We're doing it because we want our kids to continue learning and seeing their friends and, you know, having some sense of normalcy in a really difficult era. But it's not because we feel safe. A lot of kids and parents are still really anxious and worried about what they're going to bring home every day. You know, a lot of families are not doing things like seeing grandparents or extended relatives. But we just, it's not relaxing. It's not like we feel like everything is fine. Oh, and the school board's taking care of everything. I think they would reduce the anxiety level a lot with required masks. And everybody knows anxiety is on the rise, including among children. So that's another reason right there to consider doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the other argument I've heard is like, oh, kids can't keep masks on. So first of all, that's not true. If you've ever met a kid with a favorite tiara or a Spider-Man costume or even a box that they like wearing, you know they can wear the strangest of things for hours on end. The other thing is that, you know, it's part of life now. They're used to it. And let's say if even 30% of the kids in a class don't wear their masks properly, that's still 70% more coverage than we have now. So again, there's just no good argument against mandatory masking.
I think really what it is, is it's an excuse. It's an excuse to do nothing. It's saying, look what the province is doing. Great. Why should we be doing anything else? Or why should we even be challenging the science and the evidence that our province as a whole has provided? So, again.
Yeah, they actually had a panel of doctors on the CBC, I think it was last week, asking them this very question, if mandatory masking should be extended across ages. And again, nobody could say, no, that's a bad idea, or no, there are really negative consequences like A, B, and C. Only one panelist was even remotely raising questions. The other ones were just like, we know the science backs masks, you know, like, you know, they weren't going to take a policy stance, but they were all making it clear that it would add protection.
Certainly. And
you can hear some puppy shenanigans in the background.
No worries. And as I was explaining to Callista, like, I also have, you know, a younger brother, and likewise, he doesn't really see why it's such a problem. And I straight up asked him, I was like, do you find it annoying? And he was like, not really. I wear it every day. Like, you do get used to it. And as you mentioned, kids do funny things and wear funny things. And they just do it because, you know, they understand that it's like something that they enjoy or believe in, or, you know, it's an expression of themselves. And another really interesting thing that you pointed out, like, kind of more towards the beginning of our conversation, is that kids are used to wearing masks, not because of school necessarily, but because of everywhere else. And I think that's such a strong point, which is that they wear them everywhere else except the one place where they do have the most contact with other people, which is just definitely, it's something. It's very frustrating to see. So
it's counterintuitive, you know, and kids know it. They get exposure to science, thank goodness, and they'll say things, but, like, you know, like, Mama, wouldn't it decrease the spread of COVID-19? And you're like, yeah, sure would. Well, Mama, you know, couldn't we stop some people from getting it? Yep. You know, wouldn't it be safer if we all had masks? Yes. Well, Mama, why don't we have masks? I don't know. Again, like, you know, lack of strong leadership, lack of considering human kids to be just as important as the rest of the humans in our society. I'm not sure. There's just no good argument, and it's getting harder and harder to explain it to kids, especially as lockdowns of different lengths go on, and when they hear about friends in other places having to wear masks, like, what are we supposed to tell elementary school age kids of BC? It's weird. I would love for somebody who makes these decisions to come and try to explain it to some of the families here on the ground.
So last Thursday, they board met again, and I've kind of mentioned a little bit of what their response was, but they sent you an email message in regards to what they intended to do and what their thoughts were. When you first read through that email, what was your thinking? What was your thought process?
So firstly, I want to say that we presented it twice. We presented it at a special school board meeting because we just thought it was a really timely issue as rates were picking up in the north, that we really wanted to get it into a special meeting. And then we presented it again. Our friend Trina Fife presented it at a more recent meeting, and they didn't actually respond either time. I don't know if you've ever presented at a school board meeting, but it's a very weird process where it's not interactive at all. You get your time to speak and everybody speaks kind of in a row, and then that's it, and they just move along to other agenda items. And so we didn't get a response at first, and then we pretty much demanded a response just because, you know, this is a serious concern and we had invested time in it and we were bringing forward this concern on behalf of my child and her child. And so we asked for a formal response, and that's when we got the letter. And I guess the letter wasn't very surprising. It was disappointing, just basically saying they're following the lead of the province and they're not really going to do anything. So that's what we got. And, you know, it's not true that school boards just always have to follow in line. They can be brave. They can take additional measures. And an interesting contrast, there's a parking issue, an ongoing parking issue at my daughter's school, and that has an emergency meeting, you know, coming up this week. So I don't know how you know, potential risk of car accident injury outranks potential risk of pandemic spread. But that's an interesting contrast, right?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's important to really emphasize that the school board can take its own individual stance. And it's unfortunate that in many cases they don't. I actually have had in the past the opportunity to speak before the school board office. And as you mentioned, you're right, it's not interactive at all. There's no back and forth. There's no engagement of conversation. It's thank you for talking. Have a good day. That's really how it is, which that process in itself is a higher issue because you don't really get to engage in your thoughts, you know, like simply having the conversation that me and you are having right now and really being able to, I guess, pick at their brains and bring forward these really important points that you have. We just don't have that opportunity. And these are the people who are in place to emphasize and enroll our laws and the things that we're following within our school system, and that's very upsetting to see. So yeah. Now, at the end of everything, really, why is what we're doing not enough? Why, despite, you know, the evidence and the feedback that the school board gave, why is it not enough, and what are the prospects for the future?
Okay, so I would say we are sending a message to kids and families that they matter less, and, you know, that actors like school boards don't need to be responsive to all members of the community. They only need to be responsive to the province, and I think that's a mistake. I think in the letter there's also some confusion between associations and causation. And there's some comfort in numbers that I don't share. So when they say only 15 out of our 42 schools have had a notification, and then they explain that they're cleaning and hygiene and mask wearing, you know, they suggest that it caused that. There's no proof of that. And then also, would we say comfortably, like, don't worry, only a quarter of our village is on fire. It's not that bad yet. No, we wouldn't. And the notifications, again, are only the formal recognition of cases. We know that COVID works differently in children. We know that there's a lot of asymptomatic cases. And so really, we have no idea how schools are factoring into local COVID spread. And so that's really important, I think. You know, kids are smart. They know that you should question numbers and raise questions. And in fact, that's what my daughter wanted to do. You know, she wanted to question why we weren't doing enough. And I hope we catch up with, you know, most school jurisdictions in the rest of the country, if not the continent, and send different messages to our kids. Send the message that we're serious about ending the spread of COVID-19, that we do value kids' lives, and that we do respond when parents, kids, families, and other members of our communities bring up concerns, particularly during a global pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, you know, moving forward, I really hope, as you've highlighted and Calista mentioned earlier, that there are opportunities to come back to this again, because COVID really does not have a clear end in sight. There really is no solid ABC, we're going to get through this, and anything can contribute to making a difference when it comes to the spread of COVID.
So, that's right, especially with the different variants on the horizon, mm-hmm. and now challenges in vaccine delivery, like shipments arriving late or whatnot. Again, all these kids have masks, and if not, masks are cheap and easy to find. Why not just do one thing that would be so easy to do, of little cost, but potentially of great consequence?
Yeah, right. It's really cost and impact, and I believe the cost is low and the impact could be much greater than I think what the province and our school board perceives it as.
Exactly. And that anxiety piece isn't inconsequential. You know, we know anxiety is on the rise pre all of this, and this is certainly adding layers of anxiety. And we could really reduce people's anxiety if they felt better about going to school as students or sending off their children to school as parents, and that's no small deal, right? That's a big layer on top of everything else we're all dealing with.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Well, thank you so much for your time, Zoe. And also thank you for your daughter, Calista, for coming on. And I guess we'll have to be in touch and see what happens.
Yep, we do plan to follow up. So we're not going to let it lie. And so we really appreciate the attention and the conversation. And, you know, please tell your brother that we're there with him and that we really appreciate his mask wearing, too.
For sure. I will pass on that message. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.